How many people today are frustrated when plans fail, indeed when human justice fails?
This is Mission 66. I'm Rob Dempsey. Mission 66 originates from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor Dr. Louise Seau and is produced and heard in multiple languages around the world in partnership with Trans World Radio. I want to encourage you to take advantage of a valuable resource by downloading our free study guide. This guide will deepen your experience with God's Word and complement our daily teachings from John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To access your free study guide, simply visit mission66.org. Pick up this valuable resource and also support the ministry of Mission 66. Your gift helps sustain this program locally and globally. John Matthews is our teacher. His co-host, Esther Sisulu, gets us started today.
Great to be with you for another exciting episode where we're approaching the final chapters in the book of Acts, and we'll be exploring chapters 24, 25, and 26, revisiting the account by the historian Luke concerning the Apostle Paul's impact, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile world. Well, unfortunately, Paul had to suffer a great amount of persecution and injustices being done against him. And our teacher is John Matthews, and today's theme is aptly titled, When Justice Fails.
Esther, thank you so much. Great to be with you, and great to be with you all listening to the latest episode of Mission 66. Wherever you are today and whatever your situation is, a warm welcome. And if you've been listening in with us to previous episodes, you'll also have been following the captivating and crucial story and life of the Apostle Paul. In the last episode, he was falsely accused of violating one of the religious laws in Jerusalem and was threatened by 40 assassins who vowed that they would not eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Those people surely must have gone hungry and thirsty, because the authorities found out about that plot against him and so transported him under armed guard to Caesarea. And once there, the commander sent him to then be examined by the governor Felix. So here he is, Paul, imprisoned at the Roman garrison in Caesarea, waiting to find out what is going to become of him. Even though he is a Roman citizen and should have enjoyed better treatment than he was currently receiving. And the year is 57 AD. And so now chapter 24 tells us that the high priest Ananias, who was in Jerusalem, went to Caesarea with some of the elders, and they hired a lawyer who is a Roman called Tertullus. And they went to Caesarea to present their accusation against Paul. And Tertullus then, according to the formalities of Roman law, presents his introduction here, softening up Governor Felix with a little flattery. And after this, he presents his accusation against Paul, saying in verse 5 of chapter 24, "We have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world. He's a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tries to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him." The Jews also joined in the charge, affirming that all these things were so. And when the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, "And they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogues or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man." And he goes on, does Paul, to say that he was examined by the Sanhedrin and did nothing wrong. Other than that, he had cried out while standing among them, "It is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day." And so the judging continues here. The Roman governor, with his high position, good upbringing, all that study in his background, was suddenly confronted with a situation that nothing could have prepared him for. The Bible tells us that Felix was well acquainted with the way, or in other words, with the Christian faith, and he then decides to postpone the judgment, saying, "Look, when the commander Lysias arrived, then I will decide what will be done." And so, several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla. Now, Drusilla was Jewish, and she wanted to hear what the Apostle Paul had to say. And it says in verse 25, "As Paul reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed," possibly convicted of his own sin here by the Holy Spirit. "And Felix said, 'Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you.' At the same time, he hoped that bribe money would be given to him by Paul, so he sent for him often and conversed with him. But Paul was not going to give him a bribe, no matter what, so Paul was kept for 2 years unfairly. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favour, Felix left Paul in prison." Now, Paul, just remember now, he's not guilty. But as we can clearly see here, justice many times fail him. For political reasons, Paul is kept in chains. And now in Acts chapter 25, the account continues. Felix's successor, Festus, as soon as he took up his position, decided to speak with the high priest to try and understand why Paul had been arrested. And what did they do? Well, that which the high priest has been trying to do for a long time. He asks that Paul be taken to Jerusalem so they could end up ambushing him and killing him. And when this was suggested, Paul would not accept the terms. In verse 10, Paul said, "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, "To Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go." Paul saying here, "I'm not going back to Jerusalem. I'm a Roman citizen, and as such, I want to be heard in Rome." You see, justice is simply failing. Another governor under Roman authority, another Herod, who was King Agrippa, a descendant of the family of Herods of Edomite origin, decides to go and visit Festus. He was the governor of a part of the region there, along with his wife Bernice. And so during that conversation among friends, Festus ends up telling King Agrippa about Paul's situation. And Agrippa becomes really interested, wants to know what's going on. And Festus says, "Look, Paul's here. And he talks about this Jesus who is dead and then says he's alive. The Jews are mad at him. The whole situation is complicated. And I wanted you to know this." So with this, Agrippa becomes very curious and says, "Look, I want to hear this man out." So they prepare everything so that this hearing could take place. And once again, Festus says, "This man has done nothing that is punishable by death. I could even set him free if he had not decided to go to Rome and speak to Caesar. Now he has to go." And verse 23 says, "So on the next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp, and they entered the audience hall with the military tribunes and the prominent men of the city. Then, at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in, and Festus said, 'King Agrippa, and all who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me, both in Jerusalem and here, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. But I found that he had done nothing deserving death. And as he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to go ahead and send him. But I have nothing definite to write to my lord about him. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after we have examined him, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable in sending a prisoner not to indicate the charges against him. And now, in chapter 26 of Acts, Paul has his chance to put forward his defence before yet another human authority. And as we're going to see, human justice always seems to be falling short. Chapter 26, verse 4. Paul speaking. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope, I am accused by Jews, O King. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? And at this point, Paul tells them the account of his conversion. Whilst on the way to Damascus, he tells them how he persecuted Christians and how Jesus himself surprised him on that road, and how he was temporarily blinded and finally comes to know the Lord, the one true God, the Saviour, the Messiah of Israel. And from this point on, he began to preach the gospel. And he continues and tells them about the gospel witnessing. And he's going to say this from verse 22, and this is what he says. To this day, I've had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. But Paul said, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. And then the king rose, and the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. You see, my dear listeners, Paul was marked to die, but God did not allow this to happen. Neither Festus, nor Felix, nor even King Agrippa was able to render a decision or declare him innocent. But he should have been set free right then and there. But the truth is that in this world, despite the best efforts of men, justice many times fails. And the reality is that very often it just is not fair.
You're listening to Mission 66, and this is our Bible resource program where we examine the biblical narrative chapter by chapter. And today we're digging into Acts chapter 24, 25, and 26 with our Bible scholar, John Matthews. You know, John, just looking at this entire episode, it seems that Paul was left to his own defense all by himself. I mean, where were his companions? You know, the people he went out to minister with, people like Silas, Barnabas, and even the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, where were they?
Yeah, well, everything here, Esther, indicates that Paul was the only one of his missionary companions who'd been arrested and taken to Caesarea. And, you know, we don't know where the others were at this point. We certainly see that his accusers were well prepared. They'd even hired a Roman lawyer to try to prosecute Paul during the trial. And we then see Paul, who's clearly in a condition to present his own defence. But there was no way for him to get a lawyer where he was. It must have been tough on him. You know, he's been imprisoned. He's got no support, as you say, there at hand, except the Lord. And his main companions are not in Jerusalem. And we know that the political circumstances were not in his favour either. So there was little really that he could do. But the question about Luke is interesting because he was the one who was covering this whole thing in writing Acts. So where is Luke, especially because he'd been on the boat along with Paul not so long ago in Acts 16. But then what happened? Well, it doesn't say. But it is possible that during that time, whilst Paul was imprisoned in Caesarea, and we know that it's been 2 years so far because the Bible says that, so Luke would have had the time to go through his detailed research and write both the gospel account as well as the book of Acts. And Luke was in the region of Palestine during this period, and he had the opportunity to gather information, interview several people who were eyewitnesses to everything that had happened. So even though Paul may have felt that he was left to bear the brunt of the persecution alone, Luke was able to write a detailed report, so we have this accurate account in the book of Acts.
Very interesting. You know, I think about Paul's accusers and how they insisted that he was part of the Nazarene sect. But I suppose in his defense, Paul keeps insisting that he was still Jewish. So what was the reason for this?
Well, Judaism was recognized here when he's going through this experience as a legitimate religion by the Roman government, whilst Christianity wasn't yet. And so his accusers are trying to make Paul look illegitimate, so he'd be punished. But Paul refutes them by saying that he could still prove that he was a Jew, which he was. He believed everything that the Jews believed, except that he had faith now in Jesus and could back that up by showing how Jesus had fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies about the coming of the Messiah, and indeed that he fulfilled that prophecy. So with this, Paul wisely places himself under Judaism, which was recognized by the Roman government, so that any accusation of him participating, let's say, in, sect, wasn't it? An illegal sect or religion would then be proved false. But we said that justice fails, and it certainly fails Paul in this instance. You know, the situation, Esther, as well, with him, you know, he's not very different from what we see in our world today. For example, at the end of chapter 24, Felix left Paul in prison simply because he wanted to please the Jews and earn more favour with them. And that's what we call politicking or people-pleasing. And boy, is that a major problem. And there is so much wrong being done in the world today by many, including politicians who, let's use the example of trying to buy votes, win popularity and power by doing things or promising things, not according to law, but by what will gain votes and earn personal position and power. Well, Paul is not guilty of anything and, you know, could very well have been set free. So it's not fair. And unfortunately, in this world of ours, justice many times fails, and for the most unfair reasons.
You know, when you mention that, I think of Paul appealing to Caesar. And I think, isn't he making the process worse for himself? Did that actually help him in any way?
Well, remember, Paul had heard from the Lord, hadn't he, that he would now bear witness about Jesus in Rome, in the capital of the empire. So Paul certainly has this in the forefront of his mind. And, you know, secondly, he knows that his accusers, his enemies, want him to be taken back to Jerusalem so that there he might be ambushed and murdered. And when Paul notices that Festus was considering this possibility of sending him to Jerusalem, he thinks, God, he's about to hand me over to my persecutors and they will kill me. And being a Roman citizen, he knows that he's got certain rights of appeal. So he says, look, I appeal to Caesar so I can go to Rome and be judged as a Roman citizen. And so Paul knows that this is, in this moment at least, the best alternative, even though it would take longer and that it will make it harder for his accusers to have access to him. And it is his right. But Paul is actually going to go to Rome, but we'll learn more about that in the next episode.
Oh, wow, I'm certainly looking forward to that. You know, now after presenting his defense, we know that Paul went on to present his testimony. And I can only imagine that Festus was thinking to himself, well, this one has gone crazy from too much study. But what can we actually get from this?
Well, Esther, you know, the impact of Paul's testimony is great. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Festus is clearly convicted of his own sin by what Paul says here. It bothers him so much that he's, you can imagine it, sounds like he's squirming in his seat nervously. So perhaps he's trying to wiggle his way out when he says, Paul, your great learning is driving you insane. And Paul wouldn't let him off the hook very easily, would he? He says, I am perfectly sane. These things I tell you now are the truth. Remember, Jesus told Pontius Pilate that everyone who is on the side of truth comes to him. Pilate tries to deflect that statement by asking, what is truth? What a question that is today, isn't it? But it's the answer is the same exactly today as it was then. But in the instance of Pilate asking the question, he didn't wait for the answer. And it is interesting to see how often people claim to be seekers of truth, but will not listen or recognize the truth, which is the gospel. And the gospel is something that requires a decision for or against. There is no middle ground. Any other response is merely an attempt to deflect, and to give no answer is to say no, is to reject it.
Looking at Agrippa, who's also like a notable character or notable person in this account, it appears that he's also under this conviction. Does he end up converting as well?
Well, we don't know the answer to that, but he says, doesn't he, in such a short time, are you trying to persuade me to become a Christian? And what he probably meant by that was, do you think that you can convince me to become a Christian so fast? But you know, you're right. What is happening here is he's made to think deeply, perhaps more deeply than ever before, but we don't know the outcome.
Well, John, we have covered so much ground in this episode, and I think that we should take this time to wrap up what we've learned in these three chapters.
So, our theme was When Justice Fails. Lovely to have you with us as always today, listeners. And, you know, here's Paul imprisoned in Caesarea, waiting there for 2 years with no resolution to his case. He's under Felix and then Festus. He had the opportunity to present his testimony before all these officials, including the king, Agrippa, and still his case is not resolved. You know, how many people nowadays are frustrated when plans fail, when human justice fails? And many times, this is exactly what happens. Well, the truth is that justice in this world, like human effort, is limited and subject to unfairness. But the comfort is that God sees all, and God knows all, and God has plans to set everything right that has been left hanging on earth. So divine justice is coming, and Jesus never fails.
Amen. Oh, dear friend, I just want to thank you for your time and your attention today. And I hope that you will join us next time as we continue on our adventure through the book of Acts, right here on Mission 66. God bless you.
That wraps up today's episode of Mission 66 with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. Follow their daily teaching by downloading your free study guide at mission66.org. Go deeper into God's Word and discover how each day's teaching can apply to your life. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Download your free study guide at mission66.org and have it for our next program. That's also where you can leave a comment or make a donation to continue Mission 66 here and around the world. That's mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau. I'm Rob Dempsey.